A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
And it's that magical time again, Betsy. Another yes. Saturday morning is in full swing. The whole weekend is starting.
Yes, it is.
And we're starting it. I am like 4 cups of coffee in, and I am bouncing off the walls.
Holy smokes.
I'm Dan Hansen.
I'm Betsy Thompson. I can tell.
I'm a little twitchy.
Yeah.
You can tell by how much I'm shaking.
Yeah, I think I need some more coffee to catch
up. Just to keep up.
Yeah. So my drives into work recently have yielded many, many, many signs for firewood. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to have it available. And before you hand over your money and drive away with your truck loaded down with wood, we want to warn you that this is not as cut and dry as you may think it is. Rob Kakowski from Heritage Fireplace and Design Center is going to tell us the do's and the don'ts, because there are some, when it comes to firewood.
Right. Now, fall seems like the perfect time for projects like that, for chopping wood, for stacking it, getting your house ready for winter, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. But before you go with this whole winterization thing,
right.
we've got a project that a lot of people kind of equate with springtime, and yet fall is the perfect time to tackle it so that when spring does come, you're a step up on everybody else. We'll tell you what that is later on today.
We also want to talk about paintbrushes. Now, hold on before you decide that you're just going to tune out and you don't want to hear about it. We've got something that most people don't do that's going to keep your brush looking as good as new for years to come, and that's going to save you a whole lot of money and a whole lot of frustration.
But first, before we get to all of that, we're in the studio with Justin Teasdale from Peak Performance Roof Cleaning, and he has a professional system for cleaning your roof, getting the moss, the algae, the lichen off that won't damage the shingles, and that's perfectly eco-friendly. Justin, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having us.
Now, a while ago on this show, we talked about a do-it-yourselfer method for cleaning your roof from algae and moss.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a listener call, and she explained that she didn't want her 80-plus-year-old husband up on the roof. And she said, who can you recommend who would do this? So I started looking around, and I found Peak Performance Roof Cleaning, and the reviews were great for you guys, so I steered her your way. And that got me talking to you. I made a phone call later, and I realized you've got a great system for doing the same thing we recommended. So if homeowners don't want to do it themselves, there are companies out there that do, and the system you use is roof shampoo?
Yes, that is correct.
Why don't you walk us through it?
Well, yes, basically it is a process which involves a two-step process. What we do first is we apply the shampoo, which that directly hits all the simple organisms that are growing on the roof shingles, which are lichens, moss, and algae. And what that does is it breaks it down instantly. And we have a rinsing tool at a low pressure, similar to your shower head, and mm-hmm. there's two of those into our system, and it rinses all those dead materials away. So when we leave, your roof is new again.
So this shampoo, you spray it on the roof and let it work. How long does it need to work before you actually rinse it off? Is it hours? Is it minutes?
Once we apply the shampoo, it's really fun to watch, because once it hits these organisms, it'll turn colors depending on how long it's been on the roof, what color the roof is, and it reacts right away. And the beautiful part about the roof shampoo, it's all eco-friendly and biodegradable. So homeowners, they don't have to worry about killing their plants, killing their flowers, and ruining the thousands of dollars that they have invested in their outside of their house. And that's one of the reasons that I entered into this industry, because I found this process. Because in your earlier segment a few weeks ago, I did hear about you guys talking about the bleach option. And mm-hmm.
you
know,
yell at us on air, Justin?
Not at all. You know, I was cringing, you know, but everybody has to start somewhere. I did. And, you know, I tried the gimmick products that you can read about on the internet.
We were not impressed with the gimmick products that we read about.
Right.
That's great.
What seemed to be the recommended was the bleach, but with so many cautions. So that's where we were trying to go.
And,
right.
you know,
very cautious.
And you guys did your due diligence, because not a lot of people know about, I think, our process. This is our 8th season.
Okay.
We do work for realtors. We do work for insurance companies, because insurance companies are targeting homeowners that have moss on the roof. And what happens is they're going to have to get that roof cleaned somehow. So we're getting business that way. We work with 4 roofing companies throughout West Michigan, you know. And when I say 4, I say 4 honest roofing companies, which when they go out there and they see a roof that does not need to be replaced, they send it our way.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about the shampoo that you put on there. Does it prevent to any extent moss and algae regrowing up there? Is there something that's going to keep that from happening again, at least for maybe a year or something like that?
Oh, Betsy, we offer an annual program. So let's say you were to get your roof shampooed this year. Mm-hmm. We know it's going to come back at some point, okay, because of the elements. I mean, your roof is outside 24/7.
Right.
So and Betsy doesn't practice very good roof maintenance. I mean, just her roof hygiene is very low. I didn't want to interrupt, but people to understand.
It's better than your roof, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe.
There are no tree branches over mine. How about yours?
Well, let's just let Justin talk.
Well, okay, tree branches aren't good either because that does help, you know, the organisms grow.
So you have a yearly system?
Yes. What that is, and I'm going to be honest, 40% of our customers take advantage of that and 60 do not. And I think the reason is it's out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. So that next year they might get our postcard in the mail, but they're like, well, it still looks good.
Right.
But I can tell you right now, the people that do this annual treatment never see it come back. And if they do, we'll clean it at no charge. That's part of that warranty that we offer.
So this preventative treatment, is that different from the full wash of the roof? Is it a different process?
Yes. All we do is the full process would be the roof shampoo. And then the following year, we come out and spray a solution on your roof, and it prevents anything from growing back. Similar to getting your yard treated for weeds.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We're talking with Justin Teasdale from Peak Performance Roof Cleaning about roof shampoo. Just a process for removing moss, algae, lichen from your roof. It's important for us to make a point. When we talked about this in the do-it-yourself system, it's not just an aesthetic reason that we're talking about. We're not just talking about a roof that looks bad. These things growing on your roof and allowed to grow, especially when we're talking about moss and lichens, can damage the roof and the shingles and shorten their lifespan, right?
Yes. You know, what's happening is, you know, the manufacturers of these shingles, they took all the good filler out and they put limestone in, which is a good food source for these organisms to eat at.
And so once we put a food source on the roof.
Yeah. Well, that was nice.
Run the dinner bell.
Those little buggers love eating it too. You know, and so if you have a really dark, dark area on your roof, that is typically where that root formed and it'll spread. And it really does damage in our hot, humid summers. That's why in the past 10 years, you've witnessed this more and more in the West Michigan area.
Well, it definitely is something, you know, I knew that there were ways to do it yourself and to take care of it because I've looked at my roof and I've noticed some areas where I've got to take care of. I did not know there were places that would come out and do this until, you know, our listener called and wanted some help. So I dug into it. Mm-hmm. What levels of success do you see? Now, you mentioned that it will go to, you know, look like a new roof. Help me wrap my brain around that. Are you making a statement that that generally is the scenario, or is that a best case scenario?
Well, Dan, we are 99.9% confident that we will clean every roof that we go visit. Now, let's say it's beyond that point. We're going to refer them to a roofer to take care of that problem.
Right.
But as you can see in those pictures.
Yeah, Justin just gave me a book with pictures. We'll put some of these photos on our website on the job notes. Can we do that?
Yeah, that'd be great. Notes? Yeah, that'd be
they
great.
They can just see the roof and oh my goodness.
But what you can see is it's instant. You know, you don't have to wait 3 to 8 months to maybe have something happen. When we leave your home, and I don't care how much moss is on your house, you can see what this roof shampoo will do. Take a look at that corner. That's been growing for years.
He's got a roof that's completely covered, and after their system, it looks completely new.
No, I got to say, anybody can say they can clean a roof,
right,
you know, but to get it to this extent, nobody in this area can do what we do. And that's just 8 years of experience, you know, and the crew that we have is my brother and his guys, and they're amazing. You know, my brother takes pride in what he does, and every job he treats it like it's his own home.
So I guess I got to get to the question that
we
is always
ask.
First and foremost on my mind. I know it's very hard to ballpark a price. But can you ballpark a price?
Give $1 million.
Here we go.
No,
it's for everybody.
Yes.
It's very economical, Dan. Betsy, you know, I think your average homeowner can afford this. It costs anywhere from 30 cents a square foot on up to 70, depending on your roof pitch, okay, the amount of organism that's growing. But typically, our average sale is anywhere from $600 to $900.
And you said none of the chemicals you use are going to damage my landscaping. Dangerous for my pets?
Not at all. I mean, I don't have to wear gloves. I don't have to wear a mask when I apply this. We can have your kids out. We can have
Could you put the kids to work?
Would that I would love that. Now? You know, if they could pull hoses and wrap it up quicker, perfect. That would be great.
I got kids
They've
that can
got
do
a
that.
Summer job.
Yeah. Okay, I have one last question. When is too late in the season to have you come out and do this?
We typically stop doing roof shampoos when it starts to freeze, meaning we're not going to get up on the roof in 30-degree weather. So it's typically November 15th-ish.
Okay.
Is when we usually wrap up the season, and then we're back at it after the Home and Garden Show around March, April.
All right. Okay. So still some time if you're interested. Otherwise, get in touch with Justin and maybe set something up for the spring. If our listeners do want to get in touch with you, ask some more questions, maybe even get something on the calendar, how do they best do that?
Well, you can call me directly at 616-821-3378 or take a look at our website, which is grroofshampoo.com. And there are some exciting things that we're doing with our company. And if you want to see what they are, take a look at that website because we are introducing a brand new leaf-free gutter system to the market as well.
A lot of cool stuff. Get there and check it out. grroofshampoo.com. Justin, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate the time and opportunity to talk with you.
Now, coming up after the break, we've got a simple trick to washing your brush out that is going to make it last so much longer, and we're betting you're probably not doing it. We'll tell you what it is when we come back. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, for anybody who's been listening to the show for any length of time, it'll come as no surprise when I announce that I'm cheap.
Really?
Yeah, I'm cheap. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
And I don't think it's unusual, though. I think a lot of people are cheap. In fact, we see a lot of people in the store who
they're
are
just
always
money savers.
We're trying to save money. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But we do end up sometimes hurting ourselves on projects because we're so busy trying to save money.
Yes.
And in fact, what happens is we end up spending more money, creating more of a hassle, creating headaches, on and on and on and on. We see this, like I said, at the paint store when people come in specifically and buy a gallon of paint and then go and grab a really cheap brush. They tell us right at the counter, I just need a throwaway brush because I'm not going to clean it. I'm just going to toss it after the project's over. I think this is why sometimes people hate paint projects.
Yes.
It's because they're constantly using lower quality paint, inexpensive or poor application tools like rollers and brushes.
Yep.
And so their experience with a paint project is that it's a miserable one.
Right. Everyone asks, why do I want to purchase a good brush? It just costs more money. You're going to get a better finish, much better results, and there's so little effort involved to get these things. The benefits far outweigh the price of the brush.
Right. A good brush is just going to carry more paint. It'll also apply that paint more evenly.
Yes.
You're not going to get bristles coming out of it as quickly.
Yep.
When you get a cheap brush, they're cheap for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're constructed cheaply.
Right.
I think my voice broke when I said that, but I'm going to just move on and pretend. Well, now I just called attention to it.
Yes, so you did.
That happens all the time.
It's okay. Anyway.
Anyway, cheap brushes are constructed cheaply, and so the bristles will come out, and you end up with this frustration of picking them out of
paint. And you're wasting time because you're going back and fixing the spot where the bristle was.
It's not easy to fix those things.
No.
A good brush won't do that, at least not nearly as much.
Right.
It also cleans up a lot better.
Yeah, that's a huge benefit because it saves you a whole lot of time, and really, in the end, if you buy a good brush, it's going to save you money because if you're throwing away a brush every day when you're done painting and you paint for 3 days, you spend $5, maybe $8 on a cheap throwaway brush, and you could spend $20 or less on a good brush, rinse it out, and be ready to go the next time. And every time you paint after that for the next 10 to 15 years.
Right. We've seen people buy three $5 brushes to throw them all away. Much better off to buy one $15, $120 brush that will last for years.
Right. And if you're confused about which good brush is the one to get,
because it is confusing.
It is confusing.
Even for somebody as smart as me.
Yes. Well, if you're confused,
you're completely lost when you see it, right?
Right. You can stop out at any Repco Light or Port City Paint, and we will help you find the right brush for the project that you're doing that's a good brush that's going to last you for quite a few years, you know, 5, 10, 15 years.
Exactly, if you take care of it.
Right.
We're talking about brushes on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show.
Yes,
and
we are.
It is about as exciting as it gets.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's riveting talking about paintbrushes.
Yes.
But we're trying to make it as exciting as we can.
Yes.
Now, we just talked about buying a good brush and taking care of it, maintaining it, and right. how it will last for years.
Yes.
Let's just quick go over what that looks like. What does it take to clean a brush? And it's not complicated.
No.
And in fact, everybody pretty much knows what to do. But there's one step that I would bet most of you skip.
Yes, most
I
people.
I skipped it
yeah.
until the manager at our Lakewood store years ago walked
said,
me
what
through,
are you doing?
Yeah, walked me through how to clean a brush. And I thought, oh, I can't believe I got to listen to this. I am smarter than this.
Uh-huh.
And by the third step, I thought, I have never, ever thought of doing that. But that makes so much sense.
Right.
Here's what you do. First off, you clean it based on the solvent that you need to use.
Right.
And the product will tell you what that is. If you don't know, ask us. We'll tell you what solvent you need,
yep.
whether it's mineral spirits, you know,
water.
Other kinds of thinner, soap and water.
Yep.
Clean it with that. Rinse
right.
it well and then spin it.
Yep.
Just put the handle, you know, between your palms and spin it. Do it outside.
Well, and when you've spun it, this is what people don't get. When you do that, the bristles all flare out like a big old dress. And then when you hang it up, they just stay like that. So to fix that, wrap it when it's still damp after you've spun it out. Wrap it in newspaper, paper towels, tissue, something like that. And make sure it's tight on there because you're going to reform the bristles by doing this. Then when it's completely dry, put it back in that holder that it came in and that keeps the bristles that way. And it's ready to go next time as good as the day you bought
it.
If
you do that year after year, use after use, the brush is going to stay almost like new.
Right.
But we all know that no matter how well you take care of the brush,
mm-hmm.
it's still going to come to a point where you want to replace it.
Right.
It's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to happen. But here's the beauty of a good brush. Even when that day comes, that sad day, and you've
yes.
got to put it away, you can still find uses for it.
Right. And an old retired paintbrush is absolutely perfect for cleaning. Think of all the dusting you can do with an old paintbrush. You can dust lampshades,
sure.
light fixtures. It's perfect for mini blinds. I use it all the time. And for brushing all that junk that falls into your computer keyboard, which I also have a problem with.
Yeah, there's a lot of junk that gathers
yes.
there. You can blow it out, but the paintbrush works really well, too, to dust it out.
Right.
An old paintbrush is also great for, you know, cleaning out a car, you know, around the dashboard, the
mm-hmm.
radio buttons.
Right.
And some brushes just don't want to give up the paint life.
Right.
You don't want to use it to apply paint, but a lot of the times if you have to patch a crack or something
mm-hmm.
like that, usually have to chip it out first.
Right.
You know, you get a putty knife
yep.
and chip it out a little wider. Use an old brush to just dust that area. There goes that voice crack again.
Yep.
I'm going to need a lozenge. Maybe that will help. But that'll clean out that crack before you put, you know, putty or spackling compound or anything in there.
Right.
Use it if you've sanded an area to dust it off.
Absolutely. They're also great to take to the beach. Most people don't think about this, but put it in with your beach supplies and dust the sand off your feet before you get in your car instead of using your towel. It's great for that.
And then you don't get the sand in your car.
That
right. is such, it honestly,
or
I
in your house.
Avoid the beach sometimes just because
yes.
of that reason. That's how pathetic I am.
Yep.
Anyway, so many good uses for a paintbrush. They'll
right.
last you for years and years. And like we said, you'll find all kinds of ways to get your money out of them.
Right.
And we want to help you get started with a good brush in your collection.
Absolutely.
So we're going to give away 3 Corona Excalibur brushes,
mm-hmm.
really nice brushes,
yep.
to 3 lucky winners. And each one of those winners will get also a $25 gift certificate to Repco Lighter Port City Paints.
Yes.
So here's how you enter. You just need to go to our Facebook page, and there's a post about this contest,
mm-hmm.
about the brush giveaway.
Yep.
You just need to share it. And like our page. So if you've already liked our page,
you're halfway there.
All you need to do is share it.
Right.
If you haven't liked the page yet, like the page, share the post. We'll draw 3 winners from all the people who've shared it who also like the page, and we'll announce them next Saturday.
All right. In a few minutes, we'll be back, and we're going to talk about a great fall project that very few people are probably even thinking about right now. We'll fill you in after the break. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. So I was reading a news article about something unexpected happening mm-hmm. to some first responders down in Florida after the hurricane.
Sure.
They posted a selfie on Facebook, and the picture has gone absolutely viral. 140,000 comments on that one picture.
140,000.
Women are going crazy. These guys don't know what to do. They're now going to have a calendar come out with
wow,
them on
we
it.
We were excited when we had 14 comments
yes.
on a Facebook post, 140,000.
Yes.
That's a good unexpected
Talk
thing.
About unexpected.
Well, life is full of that. You know,
yes.
I was at a tennis match. My daughter's playing tennis,
mm-hmm.
and we're watching and waiting for her match to start.
Yes.
And, oh, here's her little friend. She's playing doubles,
uh-huh.
and she's in the front.
Yes.
And so we're watching her. And we watched right as her partner served the ball directly into the back of her head, which was unexpected. Nobody saw that coming,
yeah.
especially her, because she was looking the other way.
Right.
It hit her really hard. Her little glasses flew forward. She was
Aww.
Fine. She was fine, you know, after a while.
Right.
Yeah, she got over it.
Uh-huh.
The point is, life is full of unexpected things. And that's what we want to talk about right now, are unexpected projects. A project that maybe is not on anybody's radar right now, but should be, because it's a perfect time of year for it. And we're talking about staining your deck.
Yes.
Nobody thinks about that right now.
No, everybody thinks about it in the spring. And when we talked about it back in April on our very first episode, we talked about possibly getting on an 18-month cycle. That's kind of what we recommend. So if you did your deck back in 2016 in the spring, then guess what? It is time to do it again. And it is the perfect time to be out there doing it.
Right. A lot of people, like we said, don't think about doing the deck in the fall, but
nope.
yet it's perfect. The temperatures are great.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to work out there. It's pleasant.
Yep.
And also you're not fighting the heat
right.
with the product. You know, a lot of the times the deck boards heat up so much,
mm-hmm.
it creates a problem putting the stain on. It dries too fast. It can't penetrate in. That's perfect this time of year. You're going to avoid that. You
exactly.
do have to deal with moisture.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one caveat, and we'll kind of get into that as we go.
Right. As far as the project goes, the steps are all the same as what we talked about back in April. The first thing you have to do is clean the deck.
And that's important. A lot of people don't want
yep.
to. I mean, how many times don't we talk to somebody in the store?
Right.
And they don't want to.
Exactly.
And they think that it's mainly just because it's going to look better if I clean it and I can tolerate it
mm-hmm.
if it doesn't look as awesome as it could.
Right.
That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it is the aesthetic value. And you will definitely
right.
improve the look of your deck by cleaning it, because a lot of the stains that we put on allow the wood color to show through. If that wood is dull and gray and dark and stained, that's going to show through. Your stain isn't going to hide that.
Right.
But it also is a very practical thing to clean
mm-hmm.
it, because the stain can't penetrate as well into the wood if the wood is dirty and, you know, has mildew or mold or whatever on it.
Exactly.
Cleaning it off allows the stain to penetrate deeper, so it holds up better.
Exactly.
All that to say, it's important.
Right. And it's easier, and it's not going to take as much time as you think. If you stop into any of our stores, we'll help you get the right Benjamin Moore cleaner to get that deck cleaned. And once you've got the cleaner, you just put it in a pump-up sprayer, spray it on, scrub it, and rinse it off. And then just wait for it to dry.
Right. There's more to it. We just don't really want to go into that now. There's just not enough time. Call any Repco Lighter Port City paint store. We'll walk you through what you need to do. The big thing, like Betsy said, is letting it dry.
Mm.
During a normal spring summer cycle, when you're doing the deck, then we recommend 3 to 4 good drying days.
Mm-hmm.
We still recommend that, but chances are, because of the temps being a little lower, it's going to take more drying days. So
right.
check the calendar ahead. Make sure you're looking at, you know, some time without rain,
mm-hmm.
and also consider your own situation.
Right.
A fall deck project isn't for everybody. If your deck is completely engulfed in shade
yes.
and it rarely sees the sun, chances
mm-hmm.
are, doing that in September, it's just not going to get dry enough.
Right.
You know your situation. If you do have a deck in an open area and it can dry out, this might be perfect for you.
After you've let the deck dry, or what you think is dry, the best way to find out for sure before you put on stain is to do a little water drop test. And that's just putting some water on the deck, seeing if it soaks in. If it soaks in, then you're ready to go to staining.
Right. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about kind of an unexpected fall project. Everybody thinks interior when it comes to fall.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about doing your deck.
Yes.
Normally a spring project, but it shouldn't be.
No.
If you get on the right cycle, you're going to be doing this every year and a half. Once in the spring, year and a half later in the fall. Once you've determined that the deck is dry enough for stain after
mm-hmm.
doing this water test, it's all about just staining the deck. Very simply, there are a lot of different methods you can use to put the stain on. It can go very, very quickly using some of the tools. We'll put links in our show notes. You
yep.
can see we've got some videos that show just how fast you can do a deck. You can do the surface of a deck. You know, I did my in-laws probably a 16 by 16.
Mm-hmm.
I did the deck boards
yeah.
in about 20 minutes. So it just
wow.
flies. It's the railings
yeah.
and the spindles that
yep.
adds time.
Right.
But still, staining the deck isn't a big deal. The big deal when it comes to staining the deck is working in the right window of time.
Right. Just like we talked about last week with exterior painting, there's a window of time in the fall for doing these outdoor projects. And that window is from 10 until 2. You have to start at 10 or later because you need that dew to dry off and you need the surface to warm up. And then you really do need to be done painting or staining by 2 o'clock so that that product has time to dry a little bit
before
the dew comes back. Yeah, it's a vicious cycle.
Right. So work in that window and you should be fine.
Right.
Now, we've got all the tools that you need. We've got all the recommendations. You know, there's so many different types of deck stains.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to figure out which one's right,
right
for any given situation. We will help you figure that out. So
yes.
Bring in pictures, bring in whatever you've got, ask us whatever questions you've got. We'll help you. Any Repco Light or Port City Paint Store, we'll walk you through it. We've done it for years and years and years. We've been in business since 1946, and we've been helping people all that time.
Yes. Or you can email us at radio@repcolite.com, and Dan and I will get back to you on whatever your question may be.
Betsy and I have not been doing this since 1946.
No, I have not been alive
but
that long.
But we've been around for a while. We definitely can help.
Right.
Staining a deck, it's really not typically a fall project. It's one of those unexpected little things, just like getting hit in the back of the head with a tennis ball while you're playing tennis.
Exactly.
Only hopefully it turns out a little better for you than that.
Right.
We'll help you through the project. Just stop in.
Right. You're tuned in to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, it is fall, like we've been talking about, and that means it's time for me to start up my fireplace.
Ooh.
And a lot of people out there are thinking the same thing.
Yes.
Getting a little itchy, because that's pretty fun.
Yes.
I like that a lot. But it's not as simple as just buying wood on the side of the road and tossing it in. You would
really
think it is. It's
yes.
a fireplace. You
right.
put wood in it, you're good to go.
Right.
We're going to tell you everything you need to know to get the most bang for your buck out of your firewood. That's when we come back. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore.
Well, welcome back. Glad you're there. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Now, not too long ago, we went and met up with Rob Kakowski at the Heritage Fireplace and Design Center. And I remember him telling us that he could fill an entire segment talking about nothing but firewood.
I know, it was a challenge.
I was blown away. And I thought, yeah, sure you can. But in recalling that, I emailed him and said, hey, why don't you stop by?
Yeah, let's give it a try.
What you got. So, Rob, thanks for being here.
Good to be here again.
Okay, so it's that time of year. People are getting ready to start heating their homes with wood again. And I know a lot of people out there are going to say, you're talking about wood that I heat with. I mean, don't I just go down to that sign down the road where it says I can load up my trailer for $50 and haul it away and burn it? But in conversations I've had with you, it's a little bit more complicated than just going down there where they've cut down a bunch of trees. There are actually specific things that you should look for. Let's first go over the types of wood that people should and should not be using, because there is a difference, correct?
Yeah, there's a lot of different species of wood that you can get different energy yields out of. You know, your harder woods, your oaks, your maples, those tend to have a higher energy yield, and that's calculated in millions of BTUs per quart. Your medium woods are going to be your maples, your firs, alder, things like that. And then your real low energy yields are going to be things like pine and spruce. So that's going to play a big role in just how much energy you're getting out of your wood.
Okay, so are there any woods that we should avoid because, A, they don't give us, you know, a very high
energy yield?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. I was listening,
or,
Betsy. I don't know what you were doing.
Well, or they're just really bad to burn because I know that some of them create more soot and things like that, and that's
always
a concern.
Yeah, I always thought pine was something you didn't want to burn in the house.
Well, yeah, and it can be, but more important than that is, number one, avoid anything that's got any sort of chemical treatment on it. If you're taking pallets and things like that that have nails in them or anything chemical, that's extremely bad and dangerous. Chemical fumes, for one, that can burn off of something that's been treated or painted or something that is very, very bad, can be hazardous to not only your own health, but also to the flue system that's in your chimney. It can corrode that because you've got extremely corrosive creosote that builds up inside of chimneys, and that can be dangerous. Chimney fires are very common, and a lot of times people aren't prepared for that.
Also, I've had a lot of trees cut down around my house recently, and yes, I'm going out there to stack it, but I want to burn it yet this year. Is that bad?
Well, absolutely. And especially with trees that have newly fallen down. A big aspect, again, is going to moisture content in wood. Mm-hmm. The way wood dries, basically, is from the outside in. Mm-hmm. So step one, if you have a tree that's fallen, is you want to get that cut up, smaller pieces the better, and as much exposed surface area as possible. From there, you want to stack it and dry it properly. Get that firewood up off the ground for storage. Pallets are great for that purpose because then it allows airflow underneath it, and then you stack it in a crisscross fashion. What that does is allow airflow through the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So now you've got a lot more drying capability with that. And then cover it. But minimum dry time, they usually say minimum 6 months. Usually you want to go a year or two in advance of a burn season. So when you're buying your wood or you're getting your wood, don't just, oh, a tree fell down, I'm going to cut it. But you're not getting it because the way fires burn, they take energy. So you've got your fuel source, which mm-hmm. is your wood. You've got your combustion, your fire, and then you've got your air. So you've mm-hmm. got these three elements. When you are burning and you've got a lot of moisture in that wood, moisture actually causes steam. That actually absorbs energy. So it decreases the amount of fuel that you're getting. So you're not putting off the same amount of heat with a higher moisture content in wood.
So is that the concern or is there a safety concern as well? Is it just the
Well, there's
output?
Both, but okay. But if you're looking at it from a I want to get as much out of this as possible. Well, one, mm-hmm. know your quantity. A lot of people don't understand the difference between what is a face cord and what is an actual cord of wood. So when they're on, I don't know, Craigslist or they're driving around, they see cord of wood. Is that a face cord or is that a full cord?
Okay.
Okay, so what's the difference?
You don't know, Betsy?
No.
A full wow. cord is an actual measurement. You know, it's actually basically 128 cubic feet. So basically, it's a full cord. A face cord is simply the same length. It's 8x4x4 basically. So it's the same length, but it's just the face. So if it's 12 inches deep, you got half the value.
Okay.
So know your quantity, know how to store it, know what type of species it is, and most important, know the moisture content in it as well.
We're here with Rob Kukowski from the Heritage Fireplace and Design Center on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about firewood and all the little intricacies that are involved with making sure you've got the right wood for your fireplace for this fall season. And I'm learning a lot of things that I wasn't really prepared for. I know my wood pile at home is not stacked correctly. And I noticed that when the wood does get wet, it seems to stay wet for a very long time.
And that's not going to dry out. And again, you want to be a minimum, and we're talking about minimum 6 months in advance. So obviously, temperature, humidity, deal with mm-hmm. dry time. So right. your wood's actually going to dry a lot faster in the summertime. So mm-hmm. be prepared in advance. You know, let it dry over the summer. Don't just buy your wood in the fall and then, okay, here I go.
Right.
You're gotcha. Not going to get the max out of it.
Okay. I have a question about this moisture thing because my dad, they've always burned with wood, and he has some theory about if it cracks just this way and this way, then that's how he tells if it's dry because he doesn't own a moisture meter. So do we have to buy a moisture meter or is this the unofficial scientific way of telling if wood is dry? I mean, is that a legitimate way of telling?
There are ways to tell. Okay. Does the bark fall off of it? You mm-hmm. know, things like that. So there are ways to look at it and tell how wet or damp. Obviously, if it's green,
right,
that's not good.
Right.
That's pretty basic. But coming from my side, a moisture meter is going to be a huge tool to have in your toolbox.
Right.
How you use it is a big deal, too. If you just put it on the outside, remember, wood dries from the outside in. You're not going to know. Mm-hmm. So you want to find a split end, take a moisture meter, plug it into the center of that, and get a good reading. And you want to be generally 20%, right around there. Less is significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of times we go out to people having problems with how it's burning, and they're getting a lot of smoke, and their stove or their high-efficiency product isn't behaving as it should. Why do I not get this heat? And the first thing I do is stick a moisture meter into a piece of wood, and guess what? 40-50%. Of course not.
Oh, yeah.
Of course not. I mean, if you took a piece of a cord of wood that was generating 8,000 BTUs and put 50% moisture in there, you're cutting that more than in half of how much heat that's going to produce.
Right.
How you store your fuel, how you use your fuel, how much moisture is in your fuel is how good it's going to be. If you put really crummy gas in your car versus very good gas in your car, how's that car going to run?
Sure. So recommendations for types of wood. What would be my best, if I have any option?
Oak.
oak.
Go oak.
Go oak and oaks. Make sure it's dry.
Yep. Get a good hardwood. You want to start with your hardwoods. They're going to have the highest BTU as far as millions of BTUs per cord of everything. So if you can just stick to your hardwoods, you're good. You don't have to be perfect. Nobody's asking for perfection. You're never going to have 0% moisture, oven kiln dried wood, and it's going to be oak. It's just not practical. So just, in theory, low moisture, good hardwoods will be the best to burn.
If you choose those things that you just said, mm-hmm. is that going to not make your wood crackle and pop? A lot of people in fireplaces, they're worried about sparks. And I know that some woods do that more. When my parents have a fire in their fireplace, some pieces just pop and pop. Is that moisture or is that the type of wood that they're burning?
Can be both.
Okay.
It can be both. So popping isn't necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's moisture. When you have moisture in wood, all that energy is converted into steam, mm-hmm. and that's where you get a lot of that popping noise. So your softer woods, your more wet woods, will tend to have a little bit more of that.
So only use that in your wood stove if it might be slightly damp. Don't use it in your fireplace. Because I've seen a lot of sparks burn their carpet.
Yeah, and obviously safety is a big thing. You know, mm-hmm. you know, there's obviously starting your fire, you want to make sure you're not, you know, having a whole bunch of downdraft issues and getting smoke into the house. That's not good. You want to make sure your flue is clean and safe to use for the season. You don't want to introduce any sort of creosote or chimney fires. That's a huge safety concern. Mm-hmm. We run into this a lot where people have their entire lives burned with their fireplace doors shut. Mm-hmm. That's not a good thing. You know, most for a couple different reasons. It can be. You want them either fully open or fully closed. But if you burn with your doors closed, most of your door manufacturers will actually say, we do not warranty this glass. Tempered glass is rated to a certain temperature. Mm-hmm. Once you hit that temperature, the temper can run out and your glass can shatter.
Oh, that's
so
bad.
Now, can it be done? Yes, it can be done, but most of your warranty will be exposed. The other thing is you're limiting the amount of draft that goes up and draft and flow. Now, once you get a fire good and going, but once it's roaring, you want that open because that fire needs oxygen and it's going to pull air from the room. Most people have a traditional fireplace mm-hmm. where it's pulling not from outside, but from in the home. Right. And if you limit that, you're actually going to choke it. There's two components to how well a fireplace, the smoke gets out of there. There's draft and there's flow. Mm-hmm. And you need to combine both of those elements to get a good draft going. So when you're first starting your fire, let's say it's the middle of winter, it's 0 degrees outside. And why isn't this thing, all the smoke's coming in? Well, that flue's cold. You've got to displace all of that cold air before it drafts. These aren't mechanical. You're relying on physics. You want that flue to warm up, to establish that draft going up. Once it gets warm, then you increase the amount of fuel going into it. You've established that draft.
Well, Rob, there is so much more that we could go into, but we just don't have any more time. If our listeners want to get in touch with you for any of the services you offer, ask you some questions, maybe have you put in a high-efficiency gas insert in their home, how do they best do that?
Well, they can either go to our website, www.heritagefireplace.com, or they can call our showroom at 616-949-4466.
All right. Rob from Heritage Fireplace and Design, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And that's going to do it for another episode of the Repco Light Home Improvement Show. Remember, this episode and past episodes are all online at repcolight.com, along with show notes and lots of other stuff that we talked about today. Go check it out.
And remember, our contest for the week, we're giving away a Corona Excalibur paintbrush and a $25 gift certificate to Repcolite to 3 lucky winners. To enter, all you have to do is like our Facebook page and share the post about the contest. We'll draw the 3 winners next Saturday.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And help you make sure that you're burning logs like an Olympian this fall. Like an Olympian, Betsy. That's what I said.
What are you talking about? I have never heard that before.
Burning logs like a what? You fill it in. I think Olympian works.
I would just, yeah.
Olympian works. Thanks for listening.